that when I came here to minister to you guys, how many of you remember me? Okay. So at that time, we were in a basement. I have to say this, though. I actually like up here better. You know what I mean? I don't mean to throw the basement. I don't mean to throw the basement, you know what I mean? I don't mean to throw the basement under the bus, but I think what will probably make me like the basement right now is the food that is there. But I definitely like this place better. The worship team that you guys have here, the worship team, when you guys were singing, I believe it was the third song, "You Bring Light into Darkness. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praises to you." When I heard those words, I said, this is exact message that God wants me to share with you this morning. I was saying to my wife, it was unbelievable. You know, I was reading and I said, this is the word that God gave me. So I know today is divine. This God is going to speak to your heart today. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Heavenly Father, let's pray. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the people that you have brought here this morning. This is not by accident. You brought everyone here this morning so that you can minister your love and kindness in their hearts. Father God, as your people approach your throne today, we come in unity. We come in love. We come with oneness of heart. I ask, Father God Almighty, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that is going through any issues in their life, any problems at all at home, whether it has to do with their children, whether it has to do with husband, wives, grandparents, Father, I pray that your hands will touch them right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, for anyone that is struggling in their bodies, those that are sick, those that have heard a bad report from the doctors, I pray, Father God, that you bring a swift healing by the end of this message. I pray for the Joshua Center. I thank you, Father, for the impact that you are doing in this community, in the city of Hamilton. I lift up Pastor Joyce into your hands. I thank you, Father God Almighty, as she's ministering in Brampton tonight, Brampton this morning, I pray, Father God, that your power, the power of God, will be upon her. I pray, Father God Almighty, that you use her to touch people's lives. I lift up Pastor Ace before you, too. I pray, Father God, that your hands will be upon him. I lift up the deacons that are in this place before you, the leadership of this church. I pray, Father God, that your hands will be upon him and bless them for all the works that you are doing in this community. We bless you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I came this morning with my beloved wife, Valerie. The last time I came here alone because she was away in school. Yesterday we had a little gathering, barbecue with some friends, and they haven't seen her for a while. So when they saw her, they realized that she looked a little bit different. I mean, you know, her stomach got a little bit bigger. They thought she gained weight, but I said, no. We didn't go to the Mandarin, neither did we go to King's Buffet. She is pregnant. We are expecting our first baby. And you know, they always say this, anytime you meet a woman, don't ever, ever make any comment about their weight. Because you might be so wrong. And yesterday when my friends saw her, they were absolutely off. Some of them were speechless because we've been trying to keep the pregnancy secret. We wanted to surprise a lot of people. But they realized that, yes, she has put on a little bit of weight. And I said, you know, I wish you'd have put on have you guys watched the movie The Naughty Professor? When the guy put on the big, huge outfit? I said, I wish you have done something like that and put like a blow bubble or something and just kind of put a prank on them. But, you know, it didn't work. But I'm so happy that my wife is here with me this morning. I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, please just turn there quickly. Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you can put that lyrics of that script, the lyrics, "You bring light into darkness." If you can just leave that that lyrics there for me. I'll appreciate it very much. You don't have to put a scripture there. Just put the lyrics. You bring, I think it was the third song. The third song. You bring light into darkness. It is your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praises to you. It's your, can you go back? Back one more? There you go. Thank you so much. God bless you. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the faces of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering upon the faces of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The message that I have for you this morning, I call it God's love found in the Holy Spirit. God's love found in the Holy Spirit. God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. The earth was void. Void means unfruitful. Void basically means empty. Void means useless. The first thing that God did in the book of Genesis, the first thing that God did is that he sent the Holy Spirit. God first sent the Holy Spirit. The reason why God sent the Holy Spirit into the earth that was full of darkness, it is because the Holy Spirit, it is a symbol of light. The Holy Spirit of God, he is the symbol of light. If you put light, if you mix light with light, if you combine light, if I have two lights and I put them together, they are basically useless. Light is only important when you put it in the middle of darkness. You understand what I'm saying? So the earth was void. The earth was void. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. God didn't send Jesus to go to the earth in the beginning. He never sent Jesus. God sent the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the most powerful person. The Holy Spirit of God. He is the most powerful person right now on planet Earth. You know, there's a lot of people that know about God. There's a lot of people that know about Jesus. But there's only a few people that know about the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if I was to walk, if we were, all of us were to walk Jackson Square right now, and we approach people and we say to them, "Do you believe in God? Do you know that God exists?" I could bet you any money, they'll probably say this question to you. Either yes or no. Either they are atheist or they believe in God. If we go downtown again and we ask people, "Do you believe there is Jesus?" I could bet you any money, they will say to you, "Well, there is Jesus." And you say, "How do you know there is Jesus?" They will say to you, "Well, because of Christmas, I celebrate Jesus' birthday." Right? A lot of people know about Jesus. As a matter of fact, a lot of people hate Jesus. There's a lot of people, most people in the world love Jesus. Most people in the world hate Jesus. A lot of people love God. They like to say God. For example, if you talk to a Muslim, they will say Jesus is just a prophet. But if you say God, they say, "Yeah, I know about God. God is Allah." If you talk to a Hindu, they will say, "Yeah, there is God." And they will tell you who they think God is. But if you ask anybody about the Holy Spirit, it's almost like the Holy Spirit, who is light in darkness, it's almost like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. This is so true. You know, I'll tell you this. This book that I'm holding, the Bible is divided into two parts. You have the Old Testament and you have the New Testament. Listen to me very carefully. But when you study God, you realize that God, the work of God, can be divided into three parts. Even though the Bible is divided into two parts, the work of God can be divided into three parts. Number one, in the Old Testament, there was only God. Jesus wasn't there. Even though Jesus showed up in some areas as an angel or something else, there was only God. In the New Testament, there was Jesus. But now, 2017, where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is not here. Jesus is in heaven. The only person that is here in the church is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only person that is here. There is God, there is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. These three people are one. Just like I have a body, I have a soul, and I have a spirit, three combined together is one. You cannot take a knife and slice me in three parts like cake and say, this is my body, so if you do that, I'll die. Right? Just like I can't take a knife and slice you in three parts and say, well, you know, this is your body, this is your soul, this is your spirit. You can't do that. If you do that, you die. Likewise, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you can't split them in half. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that this church was not built by a man. God uses a human being to build a church. But listen to me very carefully. If a person comes out of your body, if your spirit comes out of your body, they call you dead person. You are dead. You understand what I'm saying? If you take the Holy Spirit outside of the Joshua Center, if you take the Holy Spirit out of here, this place will be dead. You understand what I'm saying? Because when a spirit comes out of a person's body, remember when Jesus Christ was dying on a cross, when they were killing him, he says something. He says, God, my Father, why is it that you are forsaking me? And the Bible says he gave up the Holy Spirit. At the moment Jesus gave up the Holy Spirit, he died. This is because anytime you take out a spirit from a place, the place is considered dead. Listen to me very carefully. If you take out the Holy Spirit out of this book, if you go to Jackson Square and you go to the library, you go to, and you ask, and you go to the librarian and say, show me the Bible. The Bible inside the library without the Holy Spirit is just a regular book. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible, I'll give you another illustration. If we were to walk on this street right now and we saw someone, and I said, hey, buddy, come, I want to talk to you for a second. And I opened this book, the Bible, and I said to them, I want to read something to you. Do you know that in the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth? He's going to say, dude, what the heck are you talking about? The reason why he's going to not understand this is because our conversation has no spirit involved. It doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The reason why you can understand this book, it is because you have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, everything that I'm saying to you is just like telling you a story. The Holy Spirit is giving you the understanding of what I'm saying. You know, Jesus says something very powerful in the book of John. He says, I'm leaving the earth and I'm going to talk to my Father, and he's going to send you this Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do two things for you. Number one, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you. I'm standing here and I'm just telling you these things, but it's the Holy Spirit that is in me that is actually making you understand about Jesus. And then Jesus also said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not only teach you, he will also teach you about Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so right now, as we're here right now, you do have an intellect. That's your brain. You can understand me. But your intellect, the Holy Spirit, when I begin to talk to you about the things of God, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't speak to your intellect. He speaks to your heart. When you go to school, your teachers, they teach you, right? When you went to school, your teachers, they taught you through your intellect, not your heart. That is why if I was to ask you right now, tell me the first exams that you took in grade 9. If I said, tell me the first question that was in your grade 9 exams. Melissa, what is the first question that was in your grade 9 exams? Do you remember? No, you don't remember. But if I was to ask you, can you tell me John 3:16? You do know John 3:16. What is it?
For God so loved the world.
That, At the moment I asked her about John 3:16, she knew it. That is because Jesus also said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring things back into your memory. Touch your head and say, I'm not crazy. Say, I'm smart. Say, I'm a genius. The Holy Spirit, he makes you remember things. You understand? But the Holy Spirit can help you in many ways, but he has a very strong passion. And the passion of the Holy Spirit is for you to know about Jesus like never before. If the Holy Spirit leaves a person, the person will begin to feel depressed. If the Holy Spirit leaves a person, the person will feel like they need to do something to make themselves happy. Listen to me. When the Holy Spirit leaves a person, the person will want to do things that the world does to make them happy. This morning when you woke up, listen to me. This morning when you woke up this morning, you said to yourself, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to the Joshua Center. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you will never come here. There's a lot of people that woke up this morning in Hamilton. Ask yourself, where are they? This means that the Holy Spirit is responsible to give you desire. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is responsible to give you the desire. He will push you to a place that Jesus is. He will push you to a place that Jesus is because the Holy Spirit, he's so in love with Jesus. And he wants you to know that there is no one in your family, in your life, that can love you like Jesus can. You said, Andrew, what do you mean? Listen to me very carefully. I'm married, and believe me, I love my wife. My wife loves me. But I know that if I remove God out of our life, right? Every marriage has its argument. But if you remove God out of your life, you're not just going to argue, you're going to choke someone to death. The Holy Spirit has character. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22. The Holy Spirit have character. One of the Holy Spirit's character is temperance. Another word for temperance is patience. So when I have argument with my wife, the Holy Spirit said to me, Andrew, keep your hands to yourself. The Holy Spirit says to her, Valerie, keep your hands to yourself. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this is what you're going to be doing. There are so much people on the street. How many of you watch Jerry Springer? The Jerry Springer show. You like that show, huh? When you watch the Jerry Springer show and you see two people over there and they want to go at it, that is because they don't have the Holy Spirit. If you are here and you always want to use your fist, could it be that perhaps maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit? Because if you have the Holy Spirit, if someone do something bad to you, remember when Jesus was on a cross, the people whip him, they spat at him, they pull his beard, they put a crown of thorns on his head, they stab them on a side, they pierce his hands, they pierce his feet, they strip him naked. Jesus was so full of the Holy Spirit, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot forgive anyone. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if someone step on your toe, you're going to either go Mike Tyson, or you're going to bite them in your ear. That's what Mike Tyson did. The Holy Spirit, he is so lovely. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, he is such a gentleman. He is the kind of person that will pull the table and say, please, go before me. When you go downstairs and you're going to go eat that food downstairs, the Holy Spirit will say to you, please don't butt in. Let this person go first. But we human beings, we are so in a rush, right? We're going to step on someone's toes. We're going to do all kinds of stuff for ourselves. But the Holy Spirit, he's inside of you. He loves you. Not only does he love you, he loves your family members. One of the passions for the Holy Spirit is that he loves people who don't know Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves your family members who you wish they were here with you, but they don't want to come to church. The Holy Spirit has a strong passion for them. That is why the Bible says that God gave light into darkness. Light is in a church. Darkness is in a world. The world that we know right now is not getting any better. Look at Hamilton. I grew up in Hamilton. Look at the city of Hamilton right now. In the 90s, 1990, when I came to Canada, 1995, I was sharing some of my testimony with you guys last week. I said, Jonay McDonald, the high school I went to, when you get into a fight with someone, you fight with your hands. But now, 2017, if you get into a fight in Hamilton, somebody's going to go pull a gun. This shows you that the city is not getting any better. The city is full of darkness. So what can we do? How do you get rid of darkness? You have to bring the light into darkness. You have to bring light into darkness. Can you go to the next stage? The next slide? Because that is connected to exactly what I'm going to talk next. We thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. You are awesome. It's your breath in our lungs. The book of Genesis, the Bible says God took dirt. He took dirt from the ground. And he formed this man that we call Adam. He formed Adam from the dust. When he formed Adam, Adam was just a statue standing there. Adam can't move. Adam can't do anything. But God did something interesting. The Bible says God blew into Adam a breath. He blew into Adam the breath of life. And the breath entered into Adam's lungs. And as such, Adam can now move. Adam can breathe. The breath that you are breathing, you didn't get that breath from your mother. I know you think, you know, when my child is born, he's probably one day when I tell my son, listen, can you help me with the garbage? He's probably going to say, listen to me. You didn't bring me into this world. My mother did. The breath that I have is from my mom. You know how I know? Because I said the same thing to my mom when I was younger. But one thing that a lot of people don't understand, the breath that you breathe in, it did not come from your mom or your dad. The breath that you breathe in came from God. Because the Bible tells us that God formed a man from the ground and he blew into that man the breath of life. And so you got to thank God for Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, and you know, I talk to a lot of people at Victory. I talk to some people at Joshua Center, and I know there's a lot of people that have lost a loved one. There are some people that, you know, you have someone that passed on. I'm here to tell you today that if you know anyone that have passed on, that person is not gone forever. Because, you see, the breath in the lungs, that life that you get, it's not just life for earth. That's why the Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. There is a place called heaven. And this place is only for people who have the Holy Spirit. So if you have a loved one that passed on, I'm here to tell you right now, that because Jesus died and rose again, your loved one is also alive. If you believe that, put your hands together for Jesus. The greatest thing that you can have right now, the greatest thing that you can have right now in your life is to understand that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. One day, all of us, one day, I don't know when, but there's a day it's going to come. All of us, we will slip into eternity. That is something that you can't deny. When you slip into eternity, it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to take you, to bring you to heaven. The Holy Spirit is going to take you to heaven. And when you get to heaven, God is going to give you a new body. The body that God is going to give you, that body cannot get sick. The body that God is going to give you, that body doesn't even need double-double coffee. The body doesn't need Tim Hortons. Because that body, you know, this morning I woke up and I was so down. I said, I need some coffee. And then something said to me, don't drink coffee, go drink tea. At the moment I drink the tea and I put the sugar in it, I felt alive. Because the sugar kicked in. You see what I mean? When you go to heaven, you're not going to need sugar to make you alive. You're not going to need double-double. I'll tell you this. Tim Hortons is not in heaven. I know for some of you, you are probably very upset right now because you said, you know, I want that double-double. But I'm telling you, in heaven, you're going to have something better than Tim Hortons. Do you remember in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit first came to the disciples? They were so happy. Some people say, wait a minute, are these guys drunk? That is because the Holy Spirit inside of them, you know, I don't like to use this illustration, but, you know, when I was younger and I wasn't a Christian, I used to go to Hess Village a lot. You know, how many of you know where Hess Village is? I'm pretty sure all of us have had our bad days in the past, right? I used to go to Hess Village a lot. And after one or two or three beers, you know, we are no longer ourselves. I mean, you know, if you talk to me and you ask me, what's your name? I forgot my name, you know, and we used to do all kinds of stuff. We do that to escape the reality of who we really are. We used to get drunk of alcohol that could actually eat your lungs, destroy you. Your breath in our lungs. We used to drink alcohol that can destroy your lungs. But when the Holy Spirit comes into you, you no longer need that Budweiser. Because the Holy Spirit becomes your Budweiser in your lungs. This Budweiser doesn't destroy your lungs, it makes your lungs better. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? You don't.
Praise God. I feel like dancing. I feel like dancing. You see, that's how you feel. That's how you get when you find Jesus.
When you have Jesus in your life, you no longer have to go to the beer store. Because they said in Book of Acts, they said, these people are drunk. But the people were not drunk. They were just full of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm here to tell you today. I'm here to tell you today, this morning. The greatest thing that you can ever have in your life. There are so much people in Hamilton right now that are seeking for happiness. They are seeking for joy. There are so much people that are turning to addiction, methamphetamine, marijuana, crack cocaine, codeine. Many people are mixing different. I know about this because I have a social work background. There are many people that are mixing all kinds of medication just to get high. People, there is so much violence happening in families because somebody's drunk. People are turning into all kinds of substances to get happy. But I'm here to tell you that there is no joy that you can have than the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you today, you have found that joy. And that joy is in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How many of you here have children? If you have a children, let's see your hands. Honey, I think you have to put your hands up. How many of you have grandchildren? How many of you have grandchildren? Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me. What I'm going to tell you is very, very important. What I'm going to tell you is very... If this is probably the most important thing that I'm going to tell you today. Hear me. There was a rich man that died. He was very rich. When he was dying, he made a will. And he says, when I passed away, I want this money in my check-ins to go to this grandchildren. I want this money in my savings to go to this son. I want the house sold and dispersed this way. I want the car to be given to this person. I want the money in the tax-free savings to go here. The rich man was a Christian. So as this rich man is lying on his deathbed and they've put life support on him, his family gather around. And he says to them, even though I've given you all of this thing, there is one thing that I really, really want you to have. Because you can have all these things and never be happy. He says, there is one thing that I really, really want you to have. And that thing is this person that is about to bring me from earth into heaven. It's faster than an elevator. It's swift. And he says, this person is someone called Jesus. And he says, I want you to have this because this is the greatest investment that you can ever have. It's your spirit. Because you know why? You can have the house, you can have the car, you can have everything else. But guess what? The day you die, you can't bring them with you in a cemetery. The
The day you die, you cannot bring your checkings account, your savings account, your tax-free savings. You cannot bring your credit card, your bank card, your car. They can't put your car in your casket, man. The greatest thing that you can pass on to your children, to say to your son, daughter, grandson, grandchild, listen to me very carefully. Go to church, love God, love people, and remember, there is a God. Worship Him with everything that you have. Because you know what? There are so much people that have money. So much people that are very wealthy. How many of you know who Steve Jobs is? Steve Jobs. He is responsible for this thing here. See this thing here? Apple. See the Apple sign? Steve Jobs, correct? He's responsible for this thing here. Steve Jobs had a very bad news from the doctors. The doctor said to Steve Jobs, you have cancer, you're gonna die. Steve Jobs is worth billions of dollars. He has so much money. And so he took the money and he went to Australia or something like that. One of those areas. Then he had all this money and he hired private doctors. And he says, take this cancer out of my body and I'll give you any money that you want. The doctors tried so much to heal this rich guy and they couldn't. They said to him, you only have about a few weeks left. So before he died, he took a pen and paper and he begins to write down this note that you can find online. If you go home, go online and search for Steve Jobs' last words. He's writing this letter and he says, this is what he said in the letter. I have achieved a great status. I am very well known in the whole world. I have made great money. I have drive expensive cars, live in a nice home. But now I'm laying on this bed of anguish. And the only thing that I wish that I can take right now is to be in charge of this breath in my lungs. He says, I just wish that I can be, here is a man, all his life he's been in control of everything. He has people who mop his floor, vacuum his home. He has people that he can say to them, wash my car, clean these shoes. But he says, I'm lying on this bed and I cannot tell these lungs in my lung. I can't tell these lungs, this breath in my lungs. I cannot control this breath. This guy is such a genius. He created this thing that is more powerful. He created this thing that is unbelievably powerful. One of the powerful resources in the world. But he's lying on a bed and he says, I am very powerful with my fingers. I can create things that type. I am powerful. But now he's lying there and he realized that there is something that is more powerful than him. And that thing is his last breath. As he tries to catch his last breath, he begins to write these things down. And he says, I don't have control over where I'm going. He realized on his deathbed that there is someone called God, the Holy Spirit. And that God of the Holy Spirit, he is in your lungs right now. And he's guaranteeing you that at any time, if you were to be in Steve Jobs' position, you are going to go to heaven. All the money that Steve Jobs have, the popularity, does not guarantee heaven. Because God hasn't called the rich person. God hasn't called Donald Trump or, you know, Oprah Winfrey or some rich person. God hasn't called Justin Trudeau or the rich man. God has called you and I, the nobody. And he says, come as you are. Come. You don't need a suit. Come as you are. He says, come as you are. And this is the greatest thing that you can give to your children. Because the money that you give to your children, that money can finish. The house that you give to your children can get old. Is it good to give a house? Yes, it is. Believe you me, I'm going to give a house to my child too. But I'm telling you that there's something greater than natural resources. And that thing is to know God. That is the greatest thing that you can have in your life right now. And I'm here to tell you, be glad. Because you know why? You already have that thing. You have the Holy Spirit. And so, coming to Joshua Center is not
something that you can take lightly. Don't take coming here lightly. You know, I was sharing this same thing to you guys. The last time I was here, a lot of people that are here were not here. But, you know, when I look at my life, you know, about 12 years ago, I had nothing. Listen to me very carefully. 12 years ago, I was sleeping in my car down the bayfront. I wasn't married. My wife didn't know me. I was sleeping in the bayfront in my car. I lost all my friends. I had nothing. I didn't have no high school. Never graduated, kicked out of school. In the winter time, I was so freezing in my car. I would turn my keys on to heat me up. I never wanted to go to the shelter because I used to be so involved with gang. And I was afraid that if I went to the shelter, somebody would try to harm me. So I hid myself in my car. I was living in my car for about 3 months. And then somebody introduced me to Jesus and said, let's go to church. You know, Pastor Ace, your pastor, he is one of my Bible college teacher. When I went to school, he was one of my Bible college teacher. When I lost everything in life, in order to get everything back, I ran to Jesus. And now, when I ran to Jesus, I graduated from high school, went to university, went to college, I went to both, had a wedding, got married, no longer living in my car. Now, I'm moving on up. God is good. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, God has placed me in Ancaster. And you know, I'm living in this area because, you see, I grew up at the north end. And I'm living in this area, and every time at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., I see all the lights are going off. I said to my wife, why is the lights going off? Where is everyone? Where are they going? They are going to bed. Because you see, at the north end, the lights don't go off until 3 a.m. But I'm in this place, and I said to my wife, where is the ambulance? I can't hear sirens. I don't hear police calling. What's going on? Where is this place? It is very, very weird to me up there. And you know, sometimes God will place you in a place. If you put your trust in him, you know, he can place you. Because you see, I went from homeless. You know, I was homeless. I didn't have nowhere to stay. Not only that, I was so addicted to many things. But now I thank God that I can stand here and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, because of you now, I haven't touched drugs in the last 12 years. I haven't touched drugs. I haven't touched alcohol. And not only that, I was so addicted that I became sick. I was so sick mentally, and God delivered me. You know, today when I was praying, and you know, a lot of times people ask me, come and preach here, come and preach there. I have opportunity to go to some places and preach. And many times when I'm praying before I go, I wake up early and I start to pray to God. And sometimes God will show me something. When I'm praying, I can see a vision, right? And when I go and preach, I share the vision to people. And they said, yeah, that is true. It happened to me. For example, this morning when I was praying, I saw a vision of someone's thigh. And the thigh had a big scar. I don't know if... And I said, God, what is this? And God says, someone at the Joshua Center... Either you know someone or you personally, there is a scar on your thigh that God wants to heal you. That is one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit can give you. Because the Holy Spirit comes to heal people, to make you better. The world is full of darkness. And this darkness comes from the devil, because Jesus says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he says, I have come that they might have life abundant. I want to ask you this question. If you spell the devil backwards, what do you got? Please write it down, Melissa. If you spell the devil backwards. What do you have? What do you have? When you spell the devil backwards, what do you have? You spell the devil backwards, you have the word lived. When you turn your back to the devil, you will live. Think about that. If you turn your back backwards to the devil, because that's what I did. I turned my back to the devil, and then I lived. When you turn your back to the devil, anytime you turn your back to darkness, you embrace the light. If you turn your back to the light, you embrace darkness. If you turn your back to the church, you go into the world. Because the devil spelled backwards is lived. Put your hands together for Jesus. Sometimes when I'm preaching at Victory International Church, one time I was preaching there, and Pastor Holloway was not there. Pastor Holloway is our assistant pastor, and he asked me, he says, can you preach, Andrew? And I was preaching to the church there, and then I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, ask if there's anyone in a church that needs to be prayed for. Maybe you are not feeling well, you are sick, something is... How many of you are aware of the anointing oil? Do you know what the anointing oil, right? The anointing oil is for healing. It doesn't heal you, but it's a symbol that the Holy Spirit can use to bring healing. Is anyone here has some kind of a pain on your thigh area? That's you. What's your name? Can you come up, please? God bless you. Put your hands together for her. Rebecca. I'm not sure if you are aware, but I think you are at the back there because I saw you come in. This morning when I woke up, I was praying to God early in the morning, very early in the morning. I can feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. I was praying, and when I was praying, I saw a vision. The vision, there was a thigh, and the thigh looks like it was in severe pain. What happened to your thigh?
I was in a car accident 4 years ago.
You were in a car accident 4 years ago?
And I've had hip and thigh pain ever since.
You have hip and thigh pain. Is there anybody here that knows somebody that have a really deep cut on their thigh? Around your thigh area? They cut his whole leg down. When did that happen?
4 months ago.
4 months ago. Sorry, Rebecca, I'm coming. I just got to grab my anointed oil. I always bring my anointed oil here with me. I spoke, Pastor Joy told me, she says, when you come, Andrew, if you want to pray for people, you can go ahead. You don't pray, you don't go to someone's church and begins to pray for people. You have to make sure the pastor is aware of it, right? This is the anointing oil. The anointing oil will not heal you, but the Holy Spirit can use the anointing oil to heal you. So, someone in your family have that thigh cut. I want to show you something about what the Holy Spirit does. Huh? Sometimes the Holy Spirit can show you something, but that thing is much huge. It's bigger than you think. He just shows you a glimpse. You understand what I'm saying? Rebecca, your thigh hurts, right? Your thigh hurts. I'm going to anoint you. Father God, I give you praise. I give you glory. I cannot heal Rebecca, but I know you can. Because according to your word, you said, at the laying on the hands, the power of God is able to enter into a person. I release the anointing that is in the Holy Spirit upon Rebecca right now. Father God, I pray that Rebecca will be free from her legs. Her legs will be pain-free in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch her leg. Satan, I command you to leave right now from her spine. Leave right now from her thigh. Let her be free. Let her be free. Let her be healed in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, for doing it. We bless you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, Rebecca. Melissa, it's your... You say it's your grandfather?
My dad had open heart surgery. He had a massive heart attack, and they had to actually cut his leg to take the artery out.
Wow.
To, the wild thing with him is he's better, but he's not perfect. And I catch him, he's short of breath. He's like oh. You'll see him. So he had, his heart's working okay, but it's really...
The lie.
Yeah.
Is he living with you?
No, but he was here this morning, actually.
He was here this morning?
Yeah, he's going home this afternoon.
Yeah?
You
know, sometimes you can stand in a gap for someone. So what I'm going to do is that as a point of contact, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And as I pray, healing virtue begins to flow.
Yes,
hallelujah. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. She is anointed woman of God. She is someone that loves you, Father God. No pain shall rest in her family because of her. I pray, Father God Almighty, and I ask for swift healing. Today, at the same very hour, let the power of the Holy Ghost go upon him and begin to heal that leg in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you that you already done it. You were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By your stripes, we are healed. I ask, Father God Almighty, that divine healing will begin to flow now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name, we give you praise for that healing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Put your hands together for Jesus. You know, God is a God that heals. You say, how do you know that? I know God heals because God healed me. God healed me when I was really, really sick. And my mom says to me, maybe Andrew, my son, it's probably better for you to just go to the rehab. Go to the, you know, the hospital. Go to the, I'm not saying hospital doesn't heal. God will use the doctor to heal you. Don't get me wrong. God will use anything to heal you. But I'm telling you that what God can do, sometimes doctors cannot do. What God can do, sometimes a doctor cannot do. And so, God loves you. He doesn't want you to go through any pains. God wants to see you healed. God loved this ministry so much because this ministry has had such a huge impact in the city of Hamilton, this city. Again, I have a social work background and I know about the Joshua Center, what this ministry does to people in the streets. There's a lot of things that churches don't do that this ministry does. So I know that God's hands is upon this ministry. And God is going to bless you guys. God is going to bless this ministry. And I know that God has a bright future for this ministry. So, Father, we just thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. I ask, Father God Almighty, that you bless your people. As they go home, I pray, Father God, let your spirit dwell among them strongly. I ask, Father God Almighty, if there's anyone here that is sick, I pray, Father God Almighty, that you will bring swift healing in your body. I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise. I give you glory. May your Holy Spirit and your grace be strong upon your people. I thank you, Father God, for your love that our mind cannot even comprehend. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit that you gave us free. Father, we just worship you and we bless you and we give you praise. You are awesome in this place. We thank you, Father God, for the breath that is in our lungs today. We thank you, Father God Almighty. You said, what profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his soul? We thank you, Father God, that this morning we know who you are. We thank you, Lord, that we have a relationship with you. Father God, we pray for the children that are in the Joshua Center. We pray for the kids' church. We pray, Father God, and release your anointing upon the kids' church. We ask, Father God, that the children that are there, you will train them. Train them, Lord, to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Train them to become leaders of the city. Train them, Father God Almighty, to walk in the fear of God at all times. We pray for our loved ones, those that don't know you, those that are lost, our cousins, our brothers, sisters, those that don't know you. Father God, we pray that your love will fill their hearts. Let your grace fill their heart and bring them onto the cross. Bring them, Lord, into relationship with you. We thank you and we bless you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, sing it out.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Sing to him, church.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. Bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that we can stand in this place and pour out our praise to you, God. Thank you, God, that you are a God who loves us, that we can turn from darkness and turn to the light, and you will meet us there, Father God. I pray your blessing on each and every one of us this week as we go out of this place, and that your praise would be on our lips, Father God, for you are a God like no other. You are the only God, the one true God that loves us, Father. Thank you, God, for who you are. Amen.
Well, hot dogs is downstairs, so gather your stuff and come down and eat.